Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we are diving into one of the most fascinating and genuinely useful topics in your entire GCSE biology course, health, disease, and the development of medicine. Now I know what you might be thinking. This sounds like a lot to learn. And yes, there is a fair amount to cover, but here's the thing. This topic is everywhere around you. Every time you get a vaccine, take a painkiller, or hear about antibiotic resistance in the news, you're living this content. And examiners absolutely love it because it connects biology to the real world. By the end of this episode, you'll understand how your body fights off infection, how scientists develop new medicines, and crucially, you'll know exactly what examiners are looking for and how to avoid the most common mistakes that cost students marks every single year. So let's get started. Grab a pen because there will be a quiz at the end. Let's begin with the big picture. The specification splits disease into two main categories, and you absolutely must know the difference. First, we have communicable diseases. These are infectious diseases caused by pathogens. Pathogens are microorganisms that cause disease, and they include bacteria, viruses, fungi, and protists. The key word here is communicable. It means the disease can spread from one organism to another. Think of diseases like tuberculosis, influenza, salmonella, and malaria. Second, we have non-communicable diseases. These cannot be passed between organisms. They include conditions like cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and many cancers. These are often linked to lifestyle factors, which we'll come back to shortly. Now, how do pathogens spread? Examiners love asking this, so here's your list. Direct contact with an infected person, aerosol droplets in the air when someone coughs or sneezes, through contaminated food or water via body fluids, and through vectors. Organisms like mosquitoes that carry the pathogen from one host to another. Malaria is the classic example of a vector-borne disease. Right, so pathogens are trying to get in. What does your body do about it? Your body has two lines of defense. The first is non-specific. It doesn't care what the pathogen is, it just tries to stop everything getting in. Your skin acts as a physical barrier. If pathogens do get in through a wound, the blood clotting mechanism kicks in, sealing the gap. Your nose has hairs and mucus to trap pathogens. Your stomach produces hydrochloric acid to kill bacteria and food. These are your first responders. But if a pathogen gets past these defenses, your specific immune system kicks in. This is where it gets really interesting and where a lot of students lose marks by muddling up the two key cell types. Let me be really clear about this. You have two main types of white blood cell involved in the immune response. Phagocytes, these are your non-specific engulfers. They find pathogens, surround them, and digest them. Think of a phagocyte as a Pac-Man. It just gobbles up anything that shouldn't be there. This is called phagocytosis. Lymphocytes, these are your specific immune cells. They recognize specific antigens on the surface of pathogens. Antigens are protein molecules on the pathogen's surface that act like a unique identity badge. When a lymphocyte detects a specific antigen, it produces antibodies, proteins that are precisely shaped to bind to that antigen. This is called the lock and key mechanism. The antibody is the lock, the antigen is the key. Or actually, think of it the other way around. The antibody is the lock that fits perfectly around the antigen key. Antibodies can neutralize pathogens directly, or they can clump pathogens together so phagocytes can engulf them more easily. Some lymphocytes also produce antitoxins. These neutralize the toxins produced by bacteria. Here's the really clever bit. After the infection is cleared, some lymphocytes remain as memory cells. If the same pathogen invades again, these memory cells recognize it immediately and produce antibodies much faster and in greater quantities. This is why you become immune to certain diseases after having them once. This is also the principle behind vaccination. A vaccine introduces a weakened, dead, or partial version of a pathogen, or just its antigens, into your body. Your immune system responds, produces antibodies, and crucially, creates memory cells. So if you ever encounter the real pathogen, your immune system is already primed and ready to destroy it before you get ill. Now let's talk about something that's become increasingly important in the real world. Antibiotic resistance. Antibiotics are medicines that kill bacteria by interfering with their cell processes. For example, penicillin prevents bacteria from forming cell walls. Here's the critical point that examiners test every year. Antibiotics do not kill viruses. They only work on bacteria. So if you have a cold or flu, antibiotics are useless. The problem of antibiotic resistance arises through natural selection. Within any population of bacteria, there will be random genetic mutations. Some of these mutations might make a bacterium slightly resistant to an antibiotic. When antibiotics are used, the non-resistant bacteria are killed, but the resistant ones survive and reproduce. Over time, the entire population becomes resistant. MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, is the most famous example. This is why it's so important to complete courses of antibiotics and not overuse them. The more we use antibiotics, the stronger the selection pressure for resistance. Now, a higher-tier topic that often comes up, monoclonal antibodies. Remember how lymphocytes produce antibodies specific to one antigen? Scientists have worked out how to produce vast quantities of identical antibodies, all specific to the same antigen. These are monoclonal antibodies. The production process goes like this. A mouse is injected with the target antigen. Its immune system produces B lymphocytes that make the specific antibody. These B lymphocytes are then fused with tumor cells, which can divide indefinitely, to create hybridoma cells. These hybridoma cells are cloned and grown in large quantities, and they produce the monoclonal antibodies, which are then harvested and purified. Monoclonal antibodies have incredible applications. They're used in pregnancy tests. The test detects a hormone called HCG using monoclonal antibodies. They're used to diagnose diseases. And in cancer treatment, monoclonal antibodies can be attached to radioactive substances or anti-cancer drugs and targeted directly to cancer cells, minimizing damage to healthy tissue. Finally, let's cover drug development, because this is a topic where students often lose easy marks by not knowing the correct sequence. When scientists discover a potential new drug, it goes through a very specific testing process before it can be given to patients. First comes preclinical testing. This is done in the lab, on cells, tissues, and then animals. The aim is to test for toxicity, to find the right dose, and to check that it actually works. Only if a drug passes preclinical testing does it move to clinical trials. Clinical trials involve human volunteers. Phase 1, trials use a small number of healthy volunteers. The focus is on safety and dosage. Phase 2 and 3 trials involve larger numbers of patients who have the condition. The focus shifts to effectiveness and monitoring side effects. The gold standard of clinical trials is the double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. In this design, patients are randomly assigned to receive either the real drug or a placebo, a dummy treatment with no active ingredient. Neither the patients nor the doctors administering the treatment know who is getting which. This eliminates bias from both sides. Right, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. Mistake number one, and this costs marks every single year, is confusing lymphocytes and phagocytes. Remember, phagocytes equal Pac-Man. They engulf. Lymphocytes produce antibodies. If a question asks you to describe the role of white blood cells in fighting infection, you must mention both types and their specific roles. Mistake number two, saying antibiotics kill viruses. They don't. Full stop. If you write this in an exam, you will lose marks. Mistake number three, not distinguishing between preclinical and clinical testing. Preclinical is in the lab and on animals. Clinical is on humans. Examiners want to see that you know this distinction clearly. Mistake number four, vague descriptions of the immune response. Don't just say white blood cells fight the infection. You need to use specific terminology: antigens, antibodies, lymphocytes, phagocytosis, memory cells. Every technical term you use correctly is a potential mark. When a question says explain, you must give a reason. Use the word because to force yourself to do this. For example, antibiotics are ineffective against viral infections because viruses do not have the cellular structures that antibiotics target. For 6 more questions on this topic, structure your answer clearly. Start with the non-specific response, move to the specific immune response, and finish with memory cells and immunity. Examiners are looking for a logical progression of ideas. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the question, pause, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the difference between a communicable and a non-communicable disease? A communicable disease is caused by a pathogen and can spread between organisms. A non-communicable disease cannot be passed between organisms. Question 2. Which type of white blood cell produces antibodies? Lymphocytes. Question 3. What is a placebo? A dummy treatment with no active ingredient used in clinical trials as a control. Question 4. Why do antibiotics not work against viruses? Because antibiotics target bacterial cell structures such as cell walls, which viruses do not have. Question 5. What are memory cells and why are they important? Memory cells are lymphocytes that remain after an infection is cleared. They allow a faster, stronger immune response if the same pathogen is encountered again. This is the basis of immunity and vaccination. Brilliant work for sticking with me to the end. Let's do a super quick summary of the key points. 1. Communicable diseases are caused by pathogens and can spread. Non-communicable diseases cannot. 2. Your body defends itself with non-specific barriers like skin and specific immune responses involving phagocytes and lymphocytes. 3. Lymphocytes produce antigen-specific antibodies. Memory cells provide long-term immunity. 4. Vaccines use weakened or dead pathogens to stimulate immunity without causing disease. 5. Antibiotics kill bacteria, not viruses. Overuse leads to antibiotic resistance through natural selection. 6. Drug development goes preclinical testing first, then clinical trials, with double-blind placebo-controlled trials being the gold standard. 7. Monoclonal antibodies are produced from hybridoma cells and have uses in diagnosis and targeted cancer treatment. That's everything for this episode. Remember, the more you practice retrieving this information from memory, the better you'll perform in the exam. So cover up your notes and test yourself regularly. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.